Now, on with the show.
This is Mouse World Radio. Bringing the world to your world. This is Walt Disney World Today Live. Call 407-278-5WDW to get on the show. That's 407-278-5939. And now, your host, Matt Hochberg.
Thank you, Mr. Voice. And this live show of WDW Today is being sponsored by AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling with the special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 129,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today. Sunday, February 27th, 2011, and it's the live show for February 2011 of WDW Today. I'm Matt Hochberg of StudioCentral.com. Joining me on today's show is Mike Scopa, a senior feature writer and blogger for AllEars.net. Welcome, Mike.
Now, I've completely lost my train of thought.
Oh, that's Journey into Imagination.
Dr. Nigel Channing.
I'm kind of embarrassed that I actually know what that quote is from. Also joining us on today's show is Mike Newell of Mouse World Radio. And Mike, it's spring training.
Yes.
It's the best part of February.
Yes. So I'm on the red carpet tonight, Matt. Didn't I tell you?
Oh, yeah. What are you wearing this evening?
I have on this luxurious tuxedo that I rented at the Walmart. And I'm feeling really, you know, good tonight.
Good. Well, I would tell you, I would lie and say I'm wearing a tuxedo as well, but my video is on, so.
Well, I'm lying too.
You can, of course, see my video and chat with us at live.wddw.com. And since we are talking about the Oscars with Newell, and we are, you know, the Oscars are full of huge celebrities, and we have our own big celebrity this evening. It's Deb Wills of AllEars.net, the woman behind AllEars. For so many years. Deb, thank you for joining us this evening once again on the WDW Today Live Show.
Hello, guys. It's a pleasure to be here tonight. Good to talk with you all.
Absolutely. And we're here to answer your questions. You can call in questions, comments. There's lots going on in Walt Disney World. So we're here to talk Disney, really. And our phone number is 407-278-5939. And we have our first phone call of the evening already lined up. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Yeah, this is Paul Pace from Allentown, Michigan.
Hey, Paul.
Pretty good. Connection's pretty bad. I can barely hear you guys, but real happy to be talking to you guys. Been listening for a long time, and it's a great show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to start off with a comment. Any parents out there that really, I think, want a good time for their kids, that Pirate Adventures over at Grand Floridian is just awesome. The kids couldn't talk enough about it when we got back.
Oh, really? How old are your kids, Paul?
When we first went, my baby girl had just turned 5, and my boy was 7.
Oh, cool. Well, that's good to know. It's you know, we always like to hear feedback on everything that goes on Walt Disney World, and certainly that activity is something that we haven't heard a lot about. So that's great that you could share that your kids, 5 and 7, enjoyed it.
Yeah, and I was surprised because the little girl was a little apprehensive at first, you know, because she heard about the pirates and stuff. But yeah, as soon as we mentioned we were going again, that was the first thing they wanted to do.
So, cool. Thanks for sharing.
The first thing I really wanted to ask was Kidani Village. The first question was, do the rooms on the first floor all have balconies?
I'm not sure there's a true first floor. I think, don't you come in, is it 2 or 3? I get that in jumbo confused.
I think the lobby's on 3 or 4, actually.
Yeah.
When I was there last year, my room was on the same floor as the lobby, and it had a balcony, yes.
It did. Oh, okay, great. Yeah. Is there any block? We're going to go in September, late September, early August, and I was wondering if there is any certain block of rooms. We're going to try to get a one bedroom that is any better for the Safari view than any other room.
I have a friend who works there, and she says that the best rooms, I don't know the numbers, unfortunately. If Len was here, he would know the numbers. But as you walk into the lobby, Deb, you may know the numbers. They are to the left of the lobby. Those apparently are the preferred rooms for the Savannah View. I just don't know the numbers, though.
I don't know the numbers either. Is that the Sunset Savannah, the shared Sunset Savannah?
I think that is, Deb, but I'm not sure. But those are the preferred rooms.
Okay. Excellent. Well, I appreciate it.
I was going to say, we have maps on allyours.net if you go to the resort section. And that'd probably give you a pretty good idea of where the good rooms would be if you just look left of the lobby.
Okay. Excellent. I sure do appreciate it, guys. Keep up the great work.
Thanks, Paul. Appreciate you calling in.
All right. Thanks again.
Bye-bye.
Have a good evening.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And on the heels of Paul, we have our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
It's Paul.
Another Paul. Hey, Paul.
From Toronto.
From overseas.
Overseas?
Yeah, thanks.
What can we do for you?
Well, we're going on March 24th for a week at the Tree Houses. And then we're going on the Dream for 4 days.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's where all my money's going.
Cool.
And my son is going to be 11 on the trip, and we've seen lots of reviews for the teenage room on the Dream and lots of room for the Oceaneers Club on the Dream, but not much for the tween room. Does anybody have any reviews or advice or seen anything about that room?
Well, Newell and Deb have both been on the Dream multiple times. Very jealous.
Well, the tween area is called Edge. And yeah. It's a really neat looking room. They have the larger than life 300 inch TV screen or screen where they can play Wii games and such.
Oh yeah.
They also have, I believe it's a little recording studio. It looks pretty cool. We're just starting to get reviews from folks in. There is so much to do on that ship.
That's what I've seen.
But so far, I've heard positive things. Mike, have you heard much?
I have not. We weren't allowed to stay in there very long because the cast members didn't want us in there with the kids we were around. So I didn't really get to see too much of it, nor did I see any of the kids in there. So the only way I'm going to find out is if somebody actually had a teenager that actually used it.
We got to send Annette over with her kids.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, maybe my son could do a review for you then.
Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Yeah, send us an email, Paul.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Paul.
Okay.
Enjoy the trip.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and let's keep things rolling with a phone call from Florida.
Hi.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
Is this Paul?
Brian.
Hey, Brian, where are you calling from?
From Florida.
Cool. What's on your mind, Brian?
I'd like to thank you for talking about baby cakes NYC.
Oh, wow. Our pleasure. We love baby cakes.
That's our favorite.
It's at Downtown Disney. It's a new bakery that just opened up.
And I actually got to meet a lady that you on your show.
Emily.
Oh, you met Emily?
Emily.
Yeah.
Nice.
We love Emily. Hey, Emily.
Hey, Emily.
She still listens to your October show. She hasn't. I had their donut and the brownie bite. It was good.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I'm glad to hear you enjoyed it. You know, Emily actually, not only does she run a very successful bakery in downtown Disney, she's also a
Mets fan.
A writer. What would you call her, Deb? She writes for All Ears, the All Ears weekly newsletter. Yeah, that's
well, right. Actually, yeah. Emily is doing a monthly news bite for us about vegan tips for dining at Walt Disney World. So she's in our monthly Bits and Bites issue, which actually comes out this Tuesday in a couple days. And she's offering lots of really cool tips about where you can eat at Walt Disney World, both in the parks and at the resorts and downtown Disney. And I got to tell you, she's got some awesome food in there for folks who have not gone to Baby Cakes yet. It's in the old McDonald's.
Get a farm.
I don't think they have signage outside for Baby Cakes, but they're there, and her food is just amazing. I went with a really good friend, Laura Gilbreth, who's a blogger on All Ears, who is the ultimate chocoholic. She can rival Annette. I'd love to see the two of them get together, but Laura said, Emily, tell me what your three best chocolate desserts are. She picked them out, and Laura was just thrilled beyond belief. So she said she would have had no idea that it was gluten-free and vegan if she didn't know. It was just absolutely wonderful. So we encourage everyone to go over to Baby Cakes. They even have candles on the counter if you want to get a cupcake and celebrate a birthday or an anniversary.
Yeah, I love it. I was just there yesterday. Tastes awesome. Love it.
Jealous. Jealous.
How do you get Emily's thing?
How do we get Emily's what?
Emily's thing that you were talking about.
The column that Deb was talking about.
Yeah, how do you get it?
Deb, how do you subscribe to All Ears?
If you go to allears.net and scroll down, we have a link to our newsletter. It comes out every single Tuesday evening, Wednesday morning sometimes, depending on where you get the newsletter. It has over 129,000 subscribers. We have a feature article. Mike Scopa is one of our writers. We do tips, news, features, and the monthly Bits and Bites is where Emily's vegan piece appears.
Is it free?
It's free, absolutely.
Okay. And I'd like to ask you, what do you think of the new O Canada film?
That's a good question, Brian. The O Canada film. Scott, let's start with you, Mike. What do you think of the new O Canada film that stars Martin Short?
Well, I think that the thing that impresses me the most about it is the song at the end. I mean, I liked the original, and I didn't think I would like the updated version.
Right.
But I really, really enjoy that part of the presentation. I like the comedy part, but I really look forward to seeing the images of Canada. And the thing that really moves me is the amount of pride that was put into that film. And it makes me go back and want to see it over and over again. But again, it's the song at the end I really enjoy that more than anything else.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's sung by I'm trying to find her name. She won, Eva Avila. She won like the American Idol equivalent in Canada. And yeah. I agree with you. The song is really well sung, and I agree that it's very well done. I like the new film. I think it's there's some old footage in there. There's some new footage in there. What do you think, Newell?
I think there's too much Botox in that film. Martin Short looks plastic in that film.
I gotta look at that again. I gotta pay attention to his face. There's a lot of that in Epcot. Also, what's his name? Mission Space has the same issue.
I love Martin Short though. He always cracks me up. So it was actually refreshing when they put him in there because it you know brought it up a little bit. Even though he's not as relative as he was,
right?
Everybody relates to him being Canadian, so it kind of fits. It's really good.
The best joke in the whole film is they're showing Martin, you know, Martin in quotes. As a kid playing hockey, and he goes, "Oh yeah, everyone back then had a circle vision film,
circle vision camera."
Camcorder. Deb, what do you think of the O Canada?
Well, I'm kind of like Mike Scopa. You know, I was hesitant because I really, really liked the old film, but I thought they did a really nice job. And they have to change with the times, and they have to change with the demographics. So I think it was neat to bring Martin Short in, added some humor to it, but I think it's still a wonderful film, and I enjoy watching that.
Cool. We've got our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Tony from Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Tony.
Hi. Gotta say, I love the show. First episode I listened to was Mike Newell's Auto Train Trip show.
Cool.
Sometime, I guess I listened to it last fall, but I don't know when it came out.
Thanks, Tony.
Yeah, we're taking Amtrak from Harrisburg going down to Orlando in a couple weeks, and this is my wife. Not my wife. She's doesn't have spring break. I have spring break. Our daughter and my mother. And one thing I like to say for Lentesta, the unofficial guide rocks, but also should have a section on train travel.
I agree.
Sometime.
I agree.
First question. We have an early breakfast reservation in a couple weeks. It's March 16th, Wednesday, at the Crystal Palace. And I understood that the if you get an early reservation, you can get in early into the park, into the Magic Kingdom.
Yes.
And now when I scheduled it, this week it was supposed to open at 9 o'clock. Now I see it's opening at 8, and I'm wondering, is it worth it to still keep the breakfast reservation? I also have a lunch reservation, which I was going to cancel one of them. And I just wanted your thoughts about that. Should I still go for the early 8:15 breakfast, or just try to get into the park at 8 o'clock and just do lunch before we go back for a break?
Tony, do we know if that's – did you say that's early magic hour morning?
It's not.
Then I would do the breakfast. If it was an early magic hour morning, I'd probably get there early, do as many attractions as I could, because you'd get a head start with the general public, and then I'd go for the lunch. But since it's not, I would probably go for the breakfast.
Still go for the breakfast.
That's okay. What I would do. That's what I would.
All right. Yeah, we're staying with the Swan, actually. I have another question. Thanks for that. Should we consider taking our car to get to the Magic Kingdom early, or just take the bus from the Swan to get to the Magic Kingdom?
I'm always a fan of taking the Disney buses to the Magic Kingdom.
Yeah.
Okay. That's just me, because you get dropped off right there. You bypass the ticket and transportation center. I just think it's the most efficient way to get there and back.
All right. Okay, cool. One last thing. We're going to Epcot the day after on the 17th, I guess, before we take our train back. We're at the Swan, and getting to the International Gateway, how long to walk, do you think?
What do you think, Deb?
Are you regular walkers?
I'm a regular walker. My mother is 69 years old, but she's a pretty good walker.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a pleasant walk. The Swan, actually, it's a little bit shorter from the Swan than it is from the Dolphin. So, I don't know, maybe 10 minutes?
Okay, cool. All right.
That's right.
And my very last question, I appreciate this. Is there anything that you might suggest doing the day before? We were going to get there. We're going to be at the Space Coast for a few days, but then come out on Tuesday and not go into any of the parks. Anything to do around the boardwalk or near the Swan just for fun? Anything you might suggest?
Well, the boardwalk has entertainment in the evenings.
Okay.
Depending on the weather, it can be really, really pleasant down there. And they have a magician and a mime and a juggler, a few other things, which are kind of neat. Depending, again, on the weather, you might want to try and get an outdoor table over at Big River Grill. That's kind of fun. Or I'm trying to think of what else you would want to do.
You could rent a Surrey bike?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Those are a lot of fun.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, cool. Thanks very much for everything.
Thanks for listening, Tom.
Have a great trip.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And our next call is from Connecticut. I'm thinking Eastern Connecticut.
Bristol.
You guys have 860 in Bristol?
Yep. Jim from Bristol.
Hey, Jim.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, Jim.
Hi. I just want to start off by saying I had a blast at the reunion this weekend, this year.
Thank you.
In December, we went to the desserts and delights and had a blast. It was the very first time we even seen the Osborne Lights, and it was really great to see it that way.
Nice.
That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was
a way
of fun.
To see him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
These guys know how to throw a party, don't they?
Oh, yes. It was magical, to say the least. I actually have a question for Deb. On your site, you have a meet coming up for Mary Poppins in New York.
Yes.
And the tickets are going to go on sale late February.
Uh-oh.
it's still February.
I was just going to say a couple questions about it. Like, when do you think it would go on sale, and how would I go about getting tickets for it?
Okay. We actually had wanted to get them up this past week. Unfortunately, we ran into some technical glitches in trying to get this all worked out so that people could purchase them online. Anyway, hopefully this week, what we're going to do is we'll set something up on the website with a link, and you will go read all the terms and conditions, make sure you understand where the show is, June 18th, 2 o'clock, what we're asking people to do in terms of checking in and getting their tickets, because they're not going to be mailed to you. They'll be given to you with proper photo ID at designated time outside of the theater. And so once you read all the terms and conditions and agree, you'll email me, and there'll be a special email link, actually a form to fill out. At that point, I will send you a PayPal invoice. We're going to limit the tickets to 4 per person. 4 per address. And then once you get the invoice from PayPal, you pay via credit card or your PayPal account, and then I'll send you a written confirmation, and we're all set. We have a great block of 50 tickets. They're discounted. They're going to be $74 each with a $5 handling fee to cover the PayPal fees and such. And we're down in the orchestra. We're very, very excited, and I'm looking forward to the show, and hope you are too.
Oh, great. Yes, we definitely are. And that'll, I hope to be one of the 50.
Well, good. Good, good, good. Have you been to New York lately to see a show?
Not lately, no. I did go since they changed the one-way roads there off of, I usually go down the river and then cut across and go in. And you used to be able to go up and down any road that you wanted. But now you got to go all the way to the end and then come back.
Yeah, things have changed quite a bit in there.
Yeah.
That's why I take the train up.
Yeah.
Well, good. Well, Jim, I hope you get tickets, and I look forward to meeting you. Be sure when you see me, you let me know that we spoke on the WW Today live show.
Okay, great.
Woo.
Thanks, Jim.
Looking forward to it.
Thank you.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, this is Erica from South Carolina.
Hey, Erica.
How you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Good. I am taking a trip late May, staying at Animal Kingdom Lodge. And on departure day, our flight leaves at 2:40. And just wanted to see if you guys think that we have time for a 9:25 breakfast reservation at Tusker House, and then to make it back to Animal Kingdom Lodge to catch Magical Express.
So, what time is your flight again?
2:40.
2:40 and a 9:20 a.m. ADR.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have a car? Or are you taking the
bus? No, it will be the bus.
She's taking Magical Express, right? So.
Oh no, yeah, I meant from Animal Kingdom back to the resort.
Yeah, we'll be on Disney Transportation.
So your Magical Express will pick you up at
11:40, I'm guessing.
Yeah, 11:40. And even if you took, if you took 2 hours to eat, well, as long as you don't take 2 hours to eat, if you eat in an hour, which is a normal amount of time, I think, for most people, unless you're eating with Lentesta, then that should be enough time. Because then you're down by about 10:30, 10:45 at the latest, and then you're just hopping right back over to the lodge. I would think that would be okay. So you just got to pay attention to your time. Make sure you're not, you know, lollygagging it.
Okay. No, we're not lollygaggers. touring plans all the way.
Good. Yeah, then I say go for it, right, Scopa?
I think so, yeah. I think I'm even saying if it was a 75 to a 90-minute breakfast, and then, I mean, I don't think it would take more than 30 minutes to get from the Animal Kingdom to the Animal Kingdom Lodge taking the bus.
I agree.
I don't think so.
Okay.
No, it shouldn't be a problem at all. If you all find yourself a little pressed for time, you can always grab a cab. It shouldn't be too expensive to go from the Animal Kingdom over to the lodge.
Yes, that sounds great. All right. Thanks, guys. Enjoy the show.
Cool. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate
awesome.
It. Awesome. 407-278-5939. And up next, we have David. Hey, David.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, David.
What can we do for you tonight?
I have a question for you guys. Hello?
Yeah, shoot.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, we're going down in August, the 17th to the 22nd. And I was just wondering how you guys thought the crowds and the weather is down there at that time.
So late August in Walt Disney World. Mike, what's your experience with the late August in Walt Disney World? What can he expect?
That used to be called, I forget the name of that, value season used to be right around the 15th or 16th of August. And it's right around that time, Dave, that a lot of the schools down south are already, you know, they're already thinking we're opening up. We're going to be opening up schools. So schools down there are beginning to open. I think that the crowds are relatively light in the end of August because a lot of the family vacations are over because you've got kids doing football, you've got kids doing soccer and all that, so they need to be back. I think that you'll begin to see the park operating hours pull back right around the 17th of August. So I think you'll be okay. It'll be warm, it'll be hot, but I think that the last 2 weeks in August are probably, with the exception of obviously September, but the last 2 weeks in August are probably the lightest and the lightest crowd levels you'll see all summer.
Yeah, you got. I mean, it starts out the 17th is a 7, and then once you get to about August 22nd, starts falling down. You're going down to 5s and 6s. This is the touring plans crowd calendar, and then by the last week of August, when you get to the 25th through the 31st, you're looking at 3s, 4s, and 2s. So crowds definitely subside, but like Mike says, you've really got the weather's going to be probably your biggest issue. It's going to be hot and humid. There's no question about that. You've got the possibility of hurricanes, although August really isn't as bad as, say, September or October. And you've got more than likely those afternoon rain showers where, you know, morning looks all right, and then, you know, 2 o'clock rolls in, and then all these thunderstorms roll through. But by dinner time, they're gone. So it's an issue, but I don't think it's anything that, you know, nothing that any of us have not been able to deal with in the past.
Yeah, and if the weather's going to be bad, you'll know I'll be down there with you, Dave.
And then are any of you guys going to be down there the last 2 weeks of August?
There's a possibility I might be.
I'm always around.
Are you still doing your Sunday walks, Matt?
I am indeed. Every Sunday I was there. I was in Hollywood Studios this morning. It was hot today in Hollywood Studios. I'll tell you that much.
You poor guy.
It was a good day to do the princess.
Yeah, it's been unseasonably warm. If you've got a trip coming up, this week's going to be a little cooler, but it's been very nice. I mean, the past 2 weeks have been really, really nice in terms of the weather. Sunny, hot. It's going to get down to about, instead of the high 80s, or mid 80s, I should say, it's going to be like high 70s next couple
days. Is it ESPN the weekend this week, Matt?
It is, Mike, starting on Friday. I'm very excited for that. Let's keep things going here with our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's Ann Holshow.
Hey, Ann.
And I'm not in... Hi. I'm not in chat because my teenager is hogging the computer, and I can't get on it on my iPad unless there's a workaround.
And don't you remember Scopa's many teachings, honor thy mother and father?
Yes, this is true. He is all about honoring. But is there a workaround to get on the iPad on the
and
chat?
No. Can't you get on the site through Safari?
No, because it uses Flash.
When I go on Safari and I click on the chat room, it says you have to use Flash, and I don't.
Oh, that's right.
And I'm going to geek out on you. There is a way to do this. You're going to need to use. You go to the WDW Wiki. It's got, which is at wdwti.com/wiki, WIKI. There's kind of a quick description there. Basically, the chat runs uses IRC. And there are IRC apps that are free for the iPhone or iPad. I don't want to waste too much time going over it exactly. It's a little technical, but if you
need the URL,
just go to www.wiki, W-I-K-I, and then you'll see on the bottom of the page something about chat room information, and it'll give you a basic information on how to do it. You're going to have to search for it. I should probably, this week, it's not going to help you tonight, but this week I'll try to come up with some directions for people who are using iPads or iPhones and want to join us in the chat room. You'll need to download an IRC app, which is, there are free ones. IRC HON is a good one. That's free. And you may have to play around with it. You probably get it working by the end of the show. I apologize, I can't spend more time helping you with it, but that'll at least point you in the right direction.
I'll search IRC, but I do have some regular questions. I was hoping for Lynn, but since Lynn's not there, we'll skip the Lynn question. We're going on spring break. I'm kind of stressed out about it because it's 9 out of 10. And I've heard 9 out of 10 is you can't see pavement in front of you on the street. Would true, false? What do you think about that?
What was the question? Sorry, I missed it. I was looking up the thing on chat.
Nine crowds. Spring break.
Yeah.
Is it going to be really bad? I mean, should I brace for impact?
Yeah, it's going to be crowded, but you have to, if you use a good touring plan, Anne, it really won't matter that much because you're going to be ahead of the crowds. I think the more crowded it is, like when you're at Walt Disney World during the really busy times of the year, it's more of an issue when you're just kind of taking things easy and you're just walking around and you're trying to ride Space Mountain at, 2 o'clock in the afternoon or Tower of Terror at, noontime or so. You know, times where like the crowds build the most and you're trying to get on those high capacity, those attractions that are in the most demand. So, it's something that you have to, if you're having a touring plan, you'll be ahead of all that. So it's not gonna be as much of an issue for you. It's just gonna be more of an issue. You're gonna notice it in places like, I think, restaurants, waiting for fireworks, parades, waiting for a bus, perhaps. That's, I think, where you really notice the crowds more than anything.
Okay, so we have touring plans, and we're all good there. The other kind of quandary is early magic hour versus not early magic hour. We're really early people, so we can get there 30 minutes before early magic hour. But do you think that's going to be a bad idea, a good idea? What do you think?
You know, it kind of varies. I mean, Scopa, we've had this discussion for since we started the podcast about too early to extra magic hour or not. What's your opinion this year of early extra magic hours, Mike?
One of the things that I've always noticed, Dan, I did some geek research one year, and what I found out was that if you're at a theme park that has an extra magic hour evening session. That park was very light as far as the first 2 to 3 hours, very, very light, because most of the people, again, it's all resort guests, they had their fill of the park the night before and they're out real late. So, for instance, if tonight Epcot had extra magic hour evening and I wasn't there, my plans would be to be in Epcot the very next morning because I know that those people who
were
there
got their
tonight,
six out. Yeah.
Right. They would not be there. So I always planned my mornings that way, and it always worked. It always, always worked. So that's one thing that I have always followed every single time I go. If I tell enough people, it's not going to work. But that seems to be the nature of the beast when guests are down there. They whatever they do the night before, they will not go to that park the morning after. So that's my number one tip for that.
Have any of y'all ever been on spring break? Anybody on spring break?
Oh, yeah. I came back many times on spring break.
Okay. Yeah.
Is there anything special? I mean, is there, besides big crowds, I mean, do you get more shows? I know there's extended park hours, but like the studios, are there going to be more shows, or every show still ends at 5, even though the studios are open until, 11 p.m.?
Well, you should still have, when you have extended park hours and the studios are open past, say, 9 o'clock, really, you start getting extended show times as well. I wish I had the I have the studios hours for this week and some of my pants in the other room. But generally speaking, you do get longer park hours and you get more show times. like generally, like you said, and for instance, you know, Indiana Jones might usually have its last show, I think, around like 4:45 or so. And when you get into really extended park hours, you're going to start seeing shows from 5, 6, maybe even as late as 7 o'clock. I mean, there is a method to the madness. I mean, spring break isn't as busy as, say, July 4th week or Christmas week. It is crowded and it can vary from week to week. So mm-hmm. Disney really, I think, plays the numbers games, and they look at how many people they're expecting, and they make estimates every day. And they have a good idea of what they think they're going to need to offer in order to accommodate the crowd that'll be there. So other than longer park hours, I mean, there's no real – they don't do anything special per se for the Spring Breakers, if that's what you're getting at.
What about Fantasmic every night, Matt?
That looks like a crazy Mike. Come on.
crazy. And Matt's right. I think they go by the percentage of rooms on property that are booked, and that goes a long way with the formula they use to determine, you know, about the operating hours, I guess.
Well, and that's my segue, because we've been there in August when it was like 7 or 8 out of 10, and they opened Magic Kingdom 30 minutes earlier. And so we got through Space Mountain, Splash Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain, Mario, Pirates, and Haunted Mansion before regular opening, because it was an early morning hour. So it was 30 minutes before even early morning hour. So do you think that's a common thing during spring break, or no?
I don't know. I'm wondering if is spring break going to go up against any of the grad nights this year, or is that too early?
I'm not sure. Grad nights are off my radar now because they're in the Magic Kingdom. Deb, do you remember what
I think grad nights are in April, though. Deb, do you know?
No, but I'll go look real fast.
Thank you. I mean, with grad nights and everything, I mean, their biggest effect is the fact that the Magic Kingdom will close a little bit earlier.
Well, they affect all parks because the night before and the night after grad night is very crowded at the Magic Kingdom, because those are the people who don't get to see Wishes. So
right. They'll
either crowd that park that night before or the night after. On the nights that Magic Kingdom does have grad night, my guess is that Studios is extra crowded on those nights. Not necessarily Epcot, but Studios.
Yeah, that's right. Usually when they don't show Wishes, they have to double up on like Fantasmic to give people an option, even if they weren't planning on it originally. We've got our next call on the line, but Deb, what are those dates?
I was going to say April 29th and 30th and May 6th and 7th are grad nights this year.
Thank you, Deb.
Thanks, Deb.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Lee from Houston.
Hey, Lee, just saw you at Lou's Meat yesterday.
Say that again?
Oh, no, wrong Lee. Sorry. Anyway. Hi, Lee. How are you? That's what I said.
Good. We are heading out in 2 weeks to be in the world for spring break. And I was wondering if I gave you a quick rundown of our itinerary, if you could tell me the best modes of transportation.
Yeah, shoot. If we hear anything that sounds weird or interesting, we'll comment one way or the other.
All right. Well, we're first day, we're doing Animal Kingdom with Wishes Dessert Party. We do have our own car, and we can do either that or obviously Disney transportation. What is your opinion on the best mode of transportation for those two events?
I got to say, at least car for Animal Kingdom. I think that makes the most amount of sense, especially to get from Animal Kingdom to Magic Kingdom. That's a haul. I would hate to have to
We're staying in Port New Orleans, by the way. Port Orleans.
Okay. Are you taking a break, or are you going straight from park to park?
Probably taking a break midday.
So, Deb, would you be in agreement that he should drive to Animal Kingdom, drive back to the resort, and then take the bus to Magic Kingdom?
I would. No. I'm just, like I said, I'm a Magic Kingdom bus person. Okay. Almost always, unless I'm going to have a meal at one of the monorail resorts and then sort of hop over for a couple hours.
Okay. Sounds good. The next day is easy. We're just in the studios all day. Then Wednesday, we're doing Magic Kingdom with dinner at Ohana.
Okay.
Pretty easy to bus it.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'd bus it, yep.
Just start with the bus to Magic Kingdom since it's on the monorail, finish up in Ohana, and then back to the resort.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, if you drove, Deb's exactly right, Dave, I mean, Lee, you know, taking the bus, it drops you right off at the front of the park. You bypass the ticket and transportation center. It's just an advantage to take the bus over the car. It's a quick bus trip too.
Okay. And then Thursday we're in Magic Kingdom. We would have to come back to the hotel for sure because we're having dinner adults only in California Grill. So we'd be in the Magic Kingdom and go back to drop the kids off with the babysitter and then back to California Grill.
Yeah, I would take a car in that case, just so that you can make it easier to get from point A to point B to back to point A.
Okay.
And then, of course, you can drive to, when you come back, you'll just go drive straight to the Contemporary Resort.
Got it. Okay. Easy enough.
Cool.
Thanks for your help, guys.
Thanks, Lee.
Have a good night.
Sounds like a great trip.
407-278-5939 is our phone number. And yet another call from the great state of Connecticut.
Hi, Matt. It's Ashley. How's everybody doing?
Hi, Ashley.
Hi, I have a quick question for everybody. Has anyone done the behind the scenes tour in Epcot?
Yes.
And how was it? Did you like it?
It's really a lot of fun. I think it's a different look at what's happening in the land. If you are into the science of growing plants, you get to see a lot of things up close and personal. You can ask questions, which, especially now that there's no live person on the boats and you're sort of captive to what the recording is, there's not a lot of interaction. But this way, you'll get to learn a lot. You can ask questions. It's not that long. I think it's just under an hour. And it's always been a fun tour to do. You do walk around, but it's really neat. I like it. And it's not very expensive.
Can children, like a 12-year-old, go on that tour, or do you have to be, like, older?
Well, I will check. I'm pretty sure a 12-year-old can, but let me check.
Yeah, the Behind the Scenes tour seems to be the gateway tour for all tours at Walt Disney World. I haven't done it. I need to do that. It's very inexpensive, and there's a discount for like everything. Like library cards, we'll get a discount on that.
Just about.
Yeah. I gotta try that. I don't know. I don't have an excuse for it. Scopa, have you done that yet?
Oh yeah, little ones can go. I'm not Scopa, but the price for kids starts at age 3. So.
Oh great. And Deb, also, we're trying to get tickets too to come see you for Mary Poppins in June as well.
Oh, awesome!
So hopefully, we'll see you too.
That would be wonderful.
So we were just in New York City yesterday at the Disney store, and we got to go on like a private tour and everything. It was really, really neat.
Oh, cool!
Oh, were you there also, Ashley?
Yeah.
Oh, cool! So you saw Kathy and everyone.
Yep, I think I know who that is. There's so many people there. There's like 29 people there, so I couldn't keep track of who.
Yeah, Kathy's in the chat room. She's Tiki G Kathy. You guys can all reconnect like it was yesterday.
Oh, thank you. All right, thanks, guys.
Okay. Oh. Hope to see you in June.
407-278-5939. Lots of calls. Don't worry, lots of time to get to all your calls. We'll go to the next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hello.
Hi, who are we speaking with?
I'm Ryan from Maryland, and I was wondering if you can go swimming in December at the water park.
Yes, you can. Usually in December, one of the water parks is closed for refurbishment for the season. I don't recall which one it was this year. But there's always one that's open, unless it's really, really cold. Like if we have a cold snap down here where it's like, you know, 30s or 40s. They'll close the park because, you know, no one's in their right mind's going to want to go. But the water is heated. I've been there on days where it's like maybe in the 50s or low 60s. And it's fine in the water. But the problem is you're going to get out of the water and you have to run from slide to slide because it gets a little cold. But absolutely, those water parks will be open all year round.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Ryan. We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Dee.
Hey, Dee.
Hi.
Dee. Is this Dee from Canada?
No, this is Florida.
Oh, well. Hi, Dee. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I actually saw Matt yesterday at Lose Meet.
Nice. Small world.
Yeah.
So what's on your mind tonight, Dee?
Well, I was wondering the best place that you all like to watch illuminations from. I've been at several different spots, and I haven't found one that I like the best, other than the dessert party I attended one time.
Nice. All right. Let's start with Deb. Deb, it's a question for you, since you're the big celebrity this evening. Where's your favorite place to watch Illuminations from, not counting a Mouse Fan Travel dessert party that we all enjoy?
Well, I guess it depends whether I want to wait in that ideal spot or I just want to mingle around, and whether I want a front row spot or not. There's an area over near Norway and China that if you don't want to be right up against the railing and you don't mind being a few people back, you can get a really good view of the aerial fireworks. I like that for, you know, just sort of coming up 10, 15 minutes before the show starts. One of my favorites, and again, this would be a small yourself or just a small group of people, the Steps in Canada can be a really nice place to go. I think, wow, my favorite. That's tough, you know, when you've had one of those Mass Fan Travel dessert parties, and also the pontoon boat, the bridge, you know, where the pontoon boats are underneath. That's a great spot, but you do have to get there a little bit early to hold your space. Illuminations is one of those really cool shows because, especially now that the globe is so lively and you can see the visuals so clearly, that watching from different places around World Showcase really gives you a different view of the show. And so I'm not sure I've got one favorite.
What about you, Scopa?
Okay.
Hey, I have two spots to tell you, Dee. One is if you're standing in front of the American Gardens Theater, which is across from the American Adventure Pavilion. You turn to the left as if you're going towards Japan, and you walk about 100 to 125 paces. There is a trash can that should be right there at about 100 to 125 paces. If you stay there and you watch Illuminations, you will get the best possible view of the globe. If you want to take video, if you want to take a photo, that's a very, very good spot. There's another spot that our friend Will Cad has told me about, and this is what he does. He'll go to the Kringolila Bakery. I think that's how you pronounce it.
Yes, I love that place.
And he will sit in the table at the very – he will sit at the corner table, and he will enjoy whatever he's enjoying, and he will sit down, and he will watch Illuminations. He cannot – you cannot see all of the fireworks, but you can watch the globe from that spot, and you're sitting down. So those are two spots that I always mention to people.
Great. Thank you so much.
Anybody watch from the new restaurant in Mexico yet?
I haven't
tried that one.
Yeah, I haven't been in there. I've been in there, but I don't think I've been there for Illuminations quite yet. But if anyone has experience with that, let us know. Call into the show and let us know if how you liked it, if it was really good, or, you know, if you prefer to be outside.
Research
trip.
Thanks,
Dee. Exactly.
Thanks so much for your input. I appreciate it. Have a great night.
Bye, Dee.
All right,
take care.
Thank
you, too.
407-278-5939 is our phone number, and let's keep things going with our next phone call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Phil in New Jersey. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hi. Love you guys. Love the show. The question I had was my wife and I are going down to the world at the end of March. My mother-in-law has decided to join us, but she doesn't want to stay on property, and we're wondering if there's any budget hotels that anybody there knows of that isn't too dodgy in the area.
You know, my favorite off-site hotel that is not expensive is the Orlando Vista Hotel. It's we affectionately call it the Big Pineapple Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's located right outside downtown Disney. If you were driving on past downtown Disney on Route 535, and you go past downtown Disney, depending on which way you go, but it's literally around the corner, and it's the Orlando Vista Hotel. It used to be, I believe, a DoubleTree, but you can't miss it. It's got this huge gaudy pineapple in the middle. But don't let that fool you. It actually is a very nice hotel. I know Len. Len mentions it quite highly. He thinks it's good. I've stayed there. I liked it quite a bit. And the rates are usually pretty good. My other recommendation for you would be actually use Priceline, something that Mike Newell and I love to use when we're needing to stay at Walt Disney World, but we don't care where we're staying, but we want somewhere good. We don't want to stay, you know, obviously in a Hojo or something like that. Priceline's really great if, you know, you just pick the Lake Buena Vista area, pick 3 stars, and you can usually get a hotel room. What do you say, Mike? Somewhere between $50 and $60 a night?
Yeah, $50 to $75, depending on the season. But yeah.
Yeah. And you'll get, like, these are, you know, you get, like, something like Embassy Suites, the Holiday Inn, or the, what's the best you ever got? Was it the Hilton?
No, the best I ever got was the DoubleTree in Downtown Disney for $50.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So, if you want to roll the dice, it's kind of fun. It's kind of addicting, to tell you the truth. But the Orlando Vista is a great hotel. I really like that one quite a bit.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the advice, and like I said, you know, keep up the good work on the show.
Thank you very much. 407-278-5939. Do you have a favorite off-site hotel?
Well, I like the Sheraton Vistana Villages. They're really nice, 1- and 2-bedroom villas, very reasonably priced. The amenities there are really nice. It's a newer resort, great pool. Of course, our friends at All Star Vacation Home have all kinds of different places that you can stay. I was at Lighthouse Key a couple months ago and had a beautiful 1-bedroom with a balcony. It was really, really nice and pretty close to the park.
Absolutely. People in chat room are mentioning that they like the Orlando Vista as well. 407-278-5939 is our phone number. Don't forget to join us in our chat room. We have a lot of people in our chat room, as I just mentioned. You can be part of it. I mean, listening to the WDW live show is fun, obviously. But to make it actually more fun, to make it interactive, to be part of the show, you can just go to WDWtoday.com and listen to, and you can join us in the chat room. And you'll see a link right there for our chat room. And be a part of it. It's a lot of fun. I really think it adds to the show, and you can share your opinions and get other people's opinions and mostly make fun of me. But at the same time, it's still interesting. So we have our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Kim.
Hey, Kim. What can we do for you tonight?
We're coming in December. October. And for the Food and Wine Half Marathon. And I was just wondering, what should we do the day of the half marathon since it's at night? Should we go to a park, or should we just relax that day, or maybe do a Segway tour?
Are you running in the half marathon?
Yes, I'm going to try to.
What do you think, Scopa?
We're talking wine and dine?
Yes.
All right. Have you run in any of the other half marathons down there?
No, this will be my first.
Oh, your first half marathon ever, huh?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Oh my God.
Do you have a couple hours?
It's not to run
to listen to Mike.
The reason why I say that is that if you've never run, then you're not sure what would actually work best for you. The best thing I can tell you is to try to stay off your feet as much as possible, 24 hours before you run the race. It's very important that you rest your legs and try not to go crazy touring the parks. The other thing is that it's really important, depending upon the weather, to stay out of the sun. That day, the sun can drain your energy, and you want to make sure that you don't overdo it. I would recommend that the day before you try to take it easy from the afternoon on. Hydrate a lot, drink a lot of fluids. On that day of the half marathon, what you could do is have a good breakfast. I would say have a good breakfast, and you may want to, you know, visit a park and be very, very casual in your touring and make sure that you're gone from the park by noon and you're out of the sun and you're relaxing. When I did it in October, I took a nap. I stayed out late the night before. I was very careful. I stayed out late the night before, so I know I'd be tired the next day. I got up early. I had breakfast at Trails End, and then I think I went to the studios, walked around very casually, and about 11:30, I said, I'm done. I went into my room, and I watched a football game, and I took a nap, and then I was ready to go that night, and I actually had a good time running. One thing that you need to be aware of running the half marathon down there, the Wine and Dine, is that it's at night.
Right.
It's a lot of fun. Your first marathon will be your best. Your first half will be your best time. But you have to be very careful because you're running through the Animal Kingdom, and the footing is not the lighting is not that good. But I think you'll enjoy it, and I'm planning to be there too. So hopefully I'll see you there.
That'd be awesome. Can I ask another question?
Sure.
Since Well, first of all, the next day, should we plan on going to a park the next day? So are we going to be real tired since it's at night and it's late? Or we were kind of thinking maybe just go to the not-so-scary party maybe Sunday night, like at 4 o'clock or something.
Well, here's the thing, that the race organizers have taken a lot of input from a lot of people, including listening to us on the show, and I'm happy to say that they are listening, and they've changed a lot of things. So the after finish party will be a lot more manageable this year. And so what I'm saying is that you probably will be out till about 3:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
So you'll be sleeping in, but it's very important that you after you run that you don't go back and immediately fall asleep. You need to walk around and make sure that you keep your legs loose for a while. So the next morning you'll be tired, but you need to get up and get going. So
okay.
Definitely be active the next day.
If I can make a suggestion also, since you have many running questions, I want to shamelessly plug all ears, because tomorrow night you guys are having a call-in show, right, Mike? About running?
That's right. I should ask Deb to talk about what we're going to do tomorrow night. Deb, why don't you chime in?
Tomorrow night we have a live show, Team All Ears kickoff for 2012. It will be our third year with Team All Ears. We have runners from very first people who have never run before to some veteran runners who do quite a bit. We have 5Kers and half marathon folks and full marathon. We got goofy and dopey runners. So tomorrow night we're going to kick off our new year training and getting our community together for January. And we're going to have some of our team members call in and be on the show with us and explain their experiences and why it's been important to be part of Team All Ears. Want to tell you, go to our website, go to allears.net. We've been doing runner profiles in the Team All Ears blog, and the stories are just amazing. Each person, you know, decides and commits to doing a run, whether it's the 5K or, you know, greater than that, and for their own personal reasons. And people have been sharing their stories, very inspirational, very motivational. So yes, call in tomorrow night. You go to allears.net. We have a link to the live show. Mr. Newell will be there producing for us. And Mike Scopa will be on, Michelle Scribner-McLean, and we'll take your questions and talk about being part of Team All Ears. Running
okay,
with purpose.
Great. Deb, can I ask you a quick question?
Absolutely.
Will they be doing anything special on October 1st since it's going to be the 40th anniversary?
In the beginning, Disney had said they weren't going to do anything really special. And then, of course, there's been a ton of merchandise that has been flooding the stores in the last month or so. Some of it's really kind of cool. I don't know of anything special that is happening. That doesn't mean nothing will. I know that D23 is visiting Walt Disney World in May and having their Destination D event, which is the ultimate for Walt Disney World history, Magic Kingdom history. I attended the one in Disneyland last year, and it was 2 days were just phenomenal. So they're doing that this year in May. I have not, maybe you guys have heard something, but I have not heard anything happening in the park for October 1st.
Pretty quiet. They've been pretty quiet. And you think about it, it's really the 40th anniversary of the Magic Kingdom. So it may just be, Deb, that maybe it will just be something along the line of the Magic Kingdom. But I would expect that if we're going to hear anything, we would hear it no later than maybe April or May.
Yeah, Disney's rolled out a lot of merchandise because, you know, got to make a buck off of it. But they really haven't mentioned anything about any kind of events that we've heard about.
No, and it's going to be probably a pretty crowded weekend, too, because you'll have, I mean, Food and Wine's going to be starting a couple days before that. You've got the October 1st anniversary, and then you've got people coming down for the Wine and Dine half marathon. So there'll probably be a lot of people in the parks. I will be there. So hopefully they'll do something cool.
Okay. Well, I'll call in tomorrow night to the show, and I love you guys. I listen to the podcast all the time. I watch, read All Ears Net all the time, so thanks a lot.
Thank you.
407-278-5939. And hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Luke.
Hey, Luke.
Hi, Luke.
What's up, Luke?
Go ahead, Luke.
All right. I have a quick question for Mike, actually.
Which one?
Scopa.
Oh, man. Okay, go ahead, Luke.
Shoot. Well, on the show about things that you haven't ever done, you made a comment that about Mission Space being kind of the kind of a deterrent from what the Disney idea should be. And I just always had kind of questions about that when Walt Disney put in the Matterhorn, which, you know, was a thrill ride that not everybody could go on. So just kind of curious what your logic with that was.
Okay, here's my logic. My logic is that when Walt Disney was sitting on that bench and he was watching his daughters, he thought about why is not there an amusement park that caters to the entire family? Now, when he says entire family, I'm thinking moms, dads, sisters, brothers, cousins, aunts, uncles, and grandparents. And I'm thinking that there are some intense attractions throughout the parks that I'm not sure that he would be entirely convinced would be a family kind of attraction. And I think that Mission Space is one. It's not for everyone. It does not cater to every single person out there. There are people with motion sickness. There are people who have back problems. And it's just one of those attractions that does not work for everybody. And to that point, I have friends who have ridden Mission Space and have done fine on it. And then a day later, they've gone on it and they've been really bewildered by it, and they felt nauseous and everything. So it's one of those attractions, and I think that there are others out there that I think that he would not like. And again, that's only my opinion, but I go back, Luke, to that time when he was on that bench and he was thinking family oriented. And as far as the Matterhorn goes, I'm not sure if that's something that I would compare with Mission Space. Mission Space is a very, very intense attraction with centrifugal forces. And here's the other thing that, and I don't know how many people know this, but there were plans to put Mission Space attractions all around the all the other parks. And for some reason, they haven't. And there must be a reason. And my thinking is that it's because that it has not been catering. It has not catered to everybody. It was popular at first, but you notice that one side is now the green side, and they've toned it down a bit. So I think that when you think about it, it's a great, you know, engineering marvel, but unfortunately, it's probably something that not everybody will enjoy. That's, again, it's my opinion.
Well, that's interesting. I was just kind of curious, but that makes sense. So,
yeah. Again, you know, it's just my opinion.
Sure. No, that was interesting, though. So, all right. Well, that was my question. So, thanks, guys.
Thanks, Luke. And I want to remind all of our listeners about our sponsor for today's show, which is AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of all the Walt Disney World restaurants, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling, special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, and join over 129,000-plus subscribers who receive a dose of Pixie Dust in their inbox each week. Visit AllEars.net today.
Yay!
407-278-5939 is our phone number. It's your opportunity to give us a call. I know a lot of you have been trying to get through. Don't worry. The first hour is always the busiest hour of the live show, but now is an opportunity for you to get through with your calls and ask your questions, share your comments. We talked about a lot of different topics this evening. I mean, almost everything in between, from what Walt would think to off-site resorts, you know, to running. I mean, it's great. So whatever your opinion, whatever your question is, no problem. We're here to talk about every aspect of Walt Disney World. And of course, if you're not in our chat room, join us in our chat room, www.today.com. You'll see the link for our chat room right there, and join all the other chatters in there. And and one of our chatters earlier, Super Silly String, demanded a shout out. So there you go, buddy. Let's keep things rolling with our next call. Hi, who are we speaking with?
This is Brian.
Hey, Brian, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Samoa, Georgia.
Hey, cool. What's up tonight?
I was going to ask you about ESPN weekend.
Yes, coming up on Friday.
Yes, I'm coming down on Thursday. I got a few questions for you.
Yes, shoot.
I've got a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. And coming down, basically my sister wanted to check out the activities, but I didn't know if there's anything for the children to do or if it's mainly...
Oh, my God.
Wow, you're... Your kids are going to... Let me tell you something. You're not going to see your children because they are going to... they are going to be in love, especially your 10-year-old. They have this thing in the over by Rock and Roller Coaster. It's this ESPN The Weekend Sports Zone, and it's kind of between Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. It's this area that they open up just for the event, and they have these awesome events that I wish I was 10 years old to be able to do, because it would just look silly for a man of my age to be doing this. But they have flag football games, they have basketball games, they have, you know, test how fast your fastball is, they have soccer instruction, they have fishing, they have a huge tank of fish, and they have a dude over there teaching you how to fish. They had a year ago they had like a barbecue demonstration, like how to tailgate properly. Your 10-year-old, the 5-year-old probably will still enjoy it, but your 10-year-old is going to absolutely love it, I would imagine. It's all free.
Yeah. It's over behind Tower of Terror?
Behind Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. It's an open area. It's the sports zone. You can't miss it. I would get there early just because it does tend to get a little crowded during the as the day progresses, but a lot of fun.
Is that basically all there is to do, or is there's no autograph? You can kind of like... Star Wars weekend.
No, there's no autograph sessions, but there are a lot of other events that are going on. There's always these question and answer things going on at the Sorcerer's Hat. This is where most of the athletes go. There's also Q&A events, which I really enjoy. I know that Baseball Tonight and NFL Live, which are TV shows on ESPN, they do these Q&A forums throughout the day at certain times. You have to check the schedule. There's a lot of that going on. You can go do Stump the Schwab, which is a trivia show. And these are all happening during the day. There's actually a couple other things that will be going on. You'll have to refer to the schedule, which will come out later this week on Friday, knowing Disney. But there's a lot to do there, especially if you're an avid sports fan. The kids will probably get more of a kick out of the sports zone. For you as an adult, I think you'll enjoy a lot of the different shows there, because you get to talk with the people that are there. There's really not autograph sessions per se, unfortunately. So that's not going to be in the cards. So don't expect that.
And how does it affect the crowd level there? Is it manageable, or
yeah, it's manageable.
Park to avoid if we're not really into doing those activities, or
I mean, if you had no interest in ESPN The Weekend and you could swing it, I would say sure, don't go there on an ESPN The Weekend day, because you're obviously gonna have some extra people there who are there for the events. That being said, the wait time for the Backlot Tour, I don't think it's gonna be any higher than it would be on any other day. I don't think the wait time for Muppet Vision will be any really that much different. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
Now,
and also another quick question is, we're going to go over to Animal Kingdom on Saturday, and I'm a pass holder, so we're going to do the 5-year birthday, Expedition Everest birthday event. Have they released anything about, is it just a bunch of pass holders riding the ride over and over again? Have they announced anything special?
I haven't read anything. I'm going to that event too, so I guess I'll see you there. I haven't heard anything. I did go to an event similar to this last year at the Tower of Terror. They did it. It was like the last day of Summer Nightastic. And all we did was they just opened up Tower of Terror and then Rock and Roller Coaster. And all you did was just ride all over and over and over again. There wasn't like any like rhyme or reason to the event in terms of like, presentation. I mean, they may do something small, but my expectation is just to be able to ride Expedition Everest, as many times as you absolutely want to.
Yeah, I didn't know. I tried to get in at 12 noon on last Friday, and you'd think that you're trying to get tickets for a Justin Bieber concert. I mean, the website was just shut down. You could not. I don't know why Disney doesn't plan for these things, because it took me 2 hours grinding through their website to print out tickets for this event.
Yeah, it's something that happens, unfortunately, quite often. And I was talking to a cast member who actually works in the annual pass promotions thing, and they know what was coming, and they tried to work it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of cogs that go into the Disney machine, and the communication may not be the best all the time, but I'm glad you were able to at least get a ticket for that.
Yeah, it took a while. I thought it was going to be limited to X amount of tickets, and I was going to be shut out. I mean, I was in right at 12 o'clock, and you could not get through. It just kept shutting you down. And
that'll be fun. Mike, did you have a point to make earlier?
What I wanted to do, Matt, is I just wanted to add to your message to Brian regarding the ESPN the weekend, Mike and Mike in the Morning. It takes place at the Grill at the World of Sports, I believe, this week. The NFL live show. Deb and I actually attended the NFL live show last year. There are a lot of things throughout the studios. Behind the Muppets, there's an area that you can do some things. You can take you can shoot baskets. There's so much that you can do. You'll see athletes walking around. They usually have, I'm not sure if it's Sports Center, or they usually have panel discussions that are right in front of the hat.
Yep.
So there will be shows there. The studios is the venue for ESPN the weekend, and as well as the World of Sports.
Okay. And they do motorcades too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Between
with the
Q&A
celebrities.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I didn't know if it was worth hanging out for that, but we were going to try to leave Thursday evening here in Atlanta and just push on through, get into Orlando sometime, around midnight. I was looking at some just cheap hotels. Is anything in the unofficial guide about the Best Western on in Kissimmee there, kind of near where that putt-putt golf place is? I found a rate on Priceline for like $35 a night.
Wow.
So I didn't know if it'd be worth just taking a chance on an off-site hotel just to stay for about 6 hours sleep.
It's not bad. I mean, you have to look up. What I would recommend you to do is check out actually a website called TripAdvisor and go pop that hotel in there and read the reviews, especially the recent ones, going back, I would say maybe 6 months at the most, and getting the feel for that. I mean, if you're seeing, look, there's every hotel's going to have negative reviews, right? But you got to read the negative reviews. Sometimes people complain, there were only 8 towels instead of the usual 12 that I'm used to. Yeah. So I get really annoyed by that. Like people love to gripe. So, but if the complaints are like, there was a cockroach in my room or things that are really big red lights, you might want to not go for that. We mentioned earlier in the show, the Orlando Vista. It sounds like they're responsive. They're not. I swear we have no business relation with them, but that's a good place, and that'll be a decent price. I forget what they're going for these days. But Priceline is a great place. I would just check out. I would stick with at least a 2.5-star or 3-star level just to make sure. It sounds like you're not bidding. You're just going, you're looking for hotels.
Yeah, I just saw something cheap. I figured, so maybe 6-7 hours of sleep, and then we're going to be staying at the Caribbean Beach for a couple of nights. So I was just looking for something cheap. I figure I could make the 7-hour drive and just someplace to lay my head for a few hours.
Yeah, absolutely. Read the reviews, and I think that'll probably lead you the best. That's what I would do if I were you. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Just one more quick question. I get off the line. Has anybody done the Behind the Steam Trains tour? I was going to do that this summer with my son. He'll be turning 10 in July. So we've always wanted to do that. I know the age was 10 for the earliest, the youngest a child can be. So I didn't know if anybody's ever done that or had any reviews on that.
I haven't done it. I had friends who have conducted that tour, and they've loved it. A former colleague of mine, Brian Bennett, did it, and he said it was just a great experience to see all the things that go on that it takes to get those trains in working order and everything. And I can tell you, I had an opportunity to sit up front, and it's very, very warm. It's something that I would not want to do in the summer. If you're going to take that tour, I would take it in the late fall if you could.
Yeah,
we usually
come down in July. So my wife's a teacher, so I don't have much of an opportunity to come in a cooler part of the year.
We have a whole rate and review section on All Ears. You can find it in our navigation bar, and that includes all the tours at Disney. The Magic Behind the Steam Trains has been recommended by 100% of the people who reviewed it with a 9-plus average rating out of 10. So I have never heard a negative to the steam train. I've never done it myself, and I need to do that. But people just rave about it and say it's a really fun experience. You get to go to the roundhouse, you're backstage a little bit, and it's very, very cool to see to learn more about the history of the trains, because that was one of Walt's absolute favorite things to do.
Yeah, I think we have to. We talk about this on another show, Deb. But I'm really in the opinion now that we have just have to, you have to assume, unless until further notice, that really all the tours at Walt Disney World are good. I mean, I just haven't heard any negative things about tours. You just got to, the basic rule is tours are great. It's just a matter of, you know, which one interests you or, you know, if you want to fork over the money for some of them. But I've never heard, I honestly cannot think of a tour that's had a negative thing about the content of the tour. So.
Probably true. Most of them get really, I'm looking through the ratings now, most of them get really high ratings.
Yeah, it's just it's an interesting phenomenon, as we were thinking about the other day. And got to assume, you know, people always ask us about it. And it's like, well, like I said, I've never heard it. You hear, I mean, trust me, one thing about the Disney internet community, people will say if they don't like something. We hear about it quite very quickly. And I really can't think any recently or even in the past, like, you know, like 7 years ago, oh, this one wasn't that good. So 407-278-5939 is our phone number, and it's your opportunity to be part of the WDW Today live show. We're very excited to have our special guest this evening, Deb Wills of AllEars.net. This is your opportunity to pick Deb's brain.
Don't pick too hard.
And Deb's been a great friend of the show, and she obviously has quite a lengthy experience in not just Walt Disney World, but also many Disney destinations around the world. So it's your opportunity to not only talk to us, but also talk to Deb. So thank you, Deb, for sharing your time with us this evening.
Thank you so much for having me on.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Evelyn.
Hey, Evelyn.
Hey, Evelyn.
Hey. Long-time listener, called twice before.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling back.
We're trying to plan a trip to Disneyland Paris in fall 2012. We've got a couple questions.
All right.
Okay. First question is, we are planning on going for their Halloween thing because my sister's a big Halloween freak. And we wanted to know if it would be good to go Halloween night, if they have anything Halloween night, or just to their normal, not-so-scary Halloween party.
Wow, I don't know anything about Disneyland Paris.
Yeah, the guy who knows a lot about Disney, well, Len's been there a couple times, and he's not here, obviously. But Deb, I know you on AllEars.net, you have a lot of reviews from Jack Spence about Disneyland Paris, right?
We do. We have a whole series of blogs. You can go to our theme park section and read those. What's striking me is for Halloween, I know that Tokyo Disneyland does a lot with Halloween. I just can't think right off the top of my head about anything over in Disneyland Paris.
Evelyn, have you been to Disneyland Paris before?
We haven't. We've been to Disneyland and Walt Disney World, and we did get Len's book on the unofficial guide for Paris. It did have something on there.
Good.
But we didn't know which would be a better night to go.
I would also recommend a great resource to you. It's dlrpmagic.com. It's like the
unofficial website. Yeah,
it's an unofficial website. It's really great content. Looks great. I would recommend that as also something just to read up on. And of course, if you go to All Ears Net, you probably shoot an email to Jack Spence. I'm sure he would love to help you point you in the right direction on a couple of those things. We don't want to lead you in the wrong direction, but whatever you can do over there, I would definitely take advantage of, because the great thing about the parks outside of the United States is they really take liberties with a lot of the things they do in terms of trying to branch out, not just do the same old thing all the time. So I would definitely check it out, whatever options they have, and let us know how it goes.
Okay, well, I'll call another time, maybe 1 month, and get a little more information. And
yeah, absolutely. You're not going until the fall, right?
Fall of 2012, yeah.
Yeah, Len will be on the next show. So certainly, if you don't get anything by then, you can always call Len and hassle him.
Okay, thank you very much. Have
right.
a good day.
All right.
Thanks, Evelyn. 407-278-5939. Yeah, the great thing is we have these live shows every month, usually the last Sunday of the month. So certainly you always have great opportunities to get your calls and lots of different topics this evening. And it's always good. It's always good to have different discussions and keep things going, not just the same old, same old. 407-278-5939 is our phone number.
Sounds like a field trip coming up, to Disneyland Paris for Halloween so we can come back and report.
Absolutely. This may sound sacrilegious. I haven't been to Disneyland, California since I was like, six or so. But I would, if someone said, Matt, you go to Disneyland or Disneyland Paris tomorrow, where would you want to go? I actually would rather go to Disneyland Paris. I don't know why. Just putting it out there.
Well, I'd choose it because I haven't been, so.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just something about it really strikes a chord with me. But we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, it's John from Littleton, Colorado.
Hey, John. Thanks for calling back.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Outstanding.
Hey, I have a question about annual passes and wanted to get your opinion of the value of that new premium annual pass versus just, let's say, a Disney World annual pass.
Deb, I think you have one of those, don't you?
I do. Do you visit both parks on Disneyland and Walt Disney World?
Last year we did, and I'm just not sure if we're going to do that again.
See, the key to the premium pass is that you get top benefits at Disneyland and also premier aspects of Disney World. So if you're only going to be in one park, one coast rather, Disney World, I think it's not worth the money because the premium pass is over $700. But if you're going to be in both parks, and Disneyland is amazing, they really have a lot of benefits for their annual pass holders. They don't have a Tables in Wonderland card out there, but if you're a premium annual pass holder, you get a lot of discounts in restaurants, and you also get a lot of merchandise discounts as well. There's some other perks like free parking, et cetera, but they really have some neat benefits for their annual pass holders. What it gives you in Walt Disney World is, of course, you got the water parks as an automatic add-on. But if you're not going to be in both coasts, then I really don't think it's a good use of money. But if you are, it is.
Okay. I was going to ask, too, is there any DVC discount for that? Because we are soon to be DVC owners. We just kind of waiting for the paperwork to close.
For the premium pass that goes for both coasts, no, there is no discount. There's no renewal discount. There's no anything discount.
Ouch.
Yeah, ouch is right, because in September when I renewed mine, I was like, okay, well, and I pulled out all my cards, you know, Vacation Club, D23, everything I could think of, and they're like, no, I'm sorry, we don't have any discounts at all. And that's another positive for you in Walt Disney World. As a Disney Vacation Club member, you get $100 off your annual pass.
Great. Okay. Well, and Deb, thanks again for the marathon stuff and all the great fun we had. I really enjoyed that time out there.
Well, good. Thank you, John. Oh, I just realized who you were. It was great to hear from you. Thanks, John, and thanks for being part of Team All Ears. Okay.
Bye. Thanks, John.
407-278-5939. Let's go to our next caller. Hi, who are we speaking with?
I'm Joe from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, I have a question. We're planning a future Disney trip. We've been going to the Wilderness Lodge.
Uh-huh.
Nice.
At least on the past two. Now we're thinking on switching to the Coronado Springs. I don't know. Do you have any insight, any opinions on that?
Why is it you're thinking of switching? Is it price or location?
I think primarily, price. And we had originally said when we started that we were going to try different places. We kind of got locked into the Wilderness Lodge on the second trip. The first trip we went to the the Yacht and Beach Club. We were in the Beach Club, and then the second time we thought, okay, we're going to switch it up. We're going to go to the Wilderness. Well, we fell in love with the Wilderness, but now, yeah, I think it's more at this point maybe an economic move. We also had an issue. Like I know at the deluxe resorts, the beds are bigger, and I know they recently did upgrades to the Coronado Springs that we heard about.
Well, personally, I like Coronado Springs. People seem to either love it or really don't care for it. It's a convention hotel. It's a little bit different feel as a moderate resort. I like it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a very pretty resort. I think that Pepper Market is a unique place to eat because of it's not a cafeteria as such. It's got pods, so to speak, and there's a wide variety of foods available. I've always had a good meal there. I like Maya Grill also. The pool is really well themed. You can't beat that. And if you like to take walks or jog, they've got a great almost a mile where you can walk around the whole lake. I just think it's a great resort. But again, if you're there and there's a convention there and there's a lot of businessmen, some folks don't like that.
That's what I've heard. Okay.
Yeah.
But it's never bothered me.
Deb, you and I are on polar opposites on this one. But I respect your opinion, but I would disagree with everything Deb said. But, you know, that's just it's like you said, it's either people either love it or hate it, it seems.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, well, the other part of that, I guess there's different types of areas. I guess the casitas, the rancheros, and the cabanas.
You got it.
I guess it looks at least on the map that if you are in the rancheros or the cabanas, you're kind of away from the convention crowd.
Yeah, I just find my biggest issue is that you're always far from something. Either you're close to the main building, but you're far from the pool, or you're close to the pool and far from the building. And then my other issue is navigating the hotel, because you'll park wherever you park, and then it's a maze literally between those buildings, and
we usually go down through Magic Express.
Okay. So yeah,
our transportation and
yeah, I'm just saying it just seems like it's always a maze to me, and I stayed there on my honeymoon when we came back from our cruise, and I really did not enjoy it one bit, but if you've never been there, I mean, you could try it out. I mean, you know, nothing wrong with that.
I tell you, it may become my favorite moderate the way I seem to have gone there more the last 2 years than ever before. And it for some, I'm with Deb on this. I think it's becoming my favorite. It's actually just getting a little bit ahead of French Quarter, which I always considered my favorite moderate. But I really think that it's probably a good resort for the empty nesters, really.
Okay. Because, like I said, the very first trip, we eyed it up, and we thought it was going to be, you know, and then it came with the double beds, and I don't know. It's just the way we all sleep in the family and such. And then now recently, again, they went to queen beds. Now, for us, that made it, like, attractive again to go back to it and just kind of look at it and go, huh, you know, maybe this is, you know, you're saving a little bit of money. But I guess when you go to the deluxes, you get that certain level of treatment and the things that are there, and you just wonder, is there that much difference going to a moderate? I don't know.
Well, there is. I mean, obviously, you're paying for a difference. One of the big things when you're at a deluxe, and including Wilderness Lodge, is that you don't have exterior doors. For some folks, that's an issue. You have balconies that you can sit on in the deluxes for the most part. They all have, most of them have balconies. You don't have that option. To me, as Mike was saying, the feel for Coronado Springs, I love the cabana section. They're only two stories. They have a great hot tub. They each have their own pool area. You're not far from the main building. And I just think it's a neat resort. You should at least try it once.
Oh, sorry. We have our next caller on the line.
I have another question for Deb.
Yes.
Yes. Go ahead, random caller from North Carolina.
If I wanted to trap some beavers or some marmots at the Animal Kingdom Lodge, where would I best lay out my traps on the savannah to do that?
Huh? You're looking for marmots?
Yeah. You know, I wanted to trap the animals because they're good eating. Them's good eating. Where would I lay my traps in the savannah at the Animal Kingdom to get that done?
I think you need to go out west, young man.
I've heard of Van Halinger. It's a very good trap. They lure all sorts of varmints.
Yeah.
How was Disneyland, Len?
Disneyland was a lot of fun. I think not usually go out there because Fantasmic is way better out there than it is in the studio.
What, Len? You're breaking up. We can't hear you anymore.
It's called World of Color.
Ooh,
yeah.
I love World of Color.
It was good. I guess Ariel is going to be a really neat attraction. I'm looking forward to that. And the thing that they're doing with the Cars expansion is just huge. So that's really interesting.
Nice. Anything new that you noticed this trip?
There's some minor food enhancements, but there's so much of a DCA is torn up right now because of the expansion. It's really hard to get around there. Like, the Paradise Pier 17, you can't walk all the way around. You can actually get in. Yeah, that's kind of tedious.
Len, does California Adventure today remind you of how Islands of Adventure was when they were building Harry Potter?
You know what it reminds me? Yeah, it does, actually. You know what it reminds me of most of them? It reminds me of the studios in Disneyland Paris. Now it's really? like they're missing so many attractions that it needs to be
they need to open more stuff. It's really, really interesting. But it's the I had a lot of fun. I mean, the weather was great. I finally ate at Club 33.
Woo!
Yeah, so that was really good.
Did you have lunch or dinner?
Dinner. And I have to build a privet too. It's incredibly expensive, but it's a lot of fun. It's really nice. We went out on the balcony, looked down at people, waved, you know, and it was good.
Like Mussolini?
Yeah, without the trains running on time, right?
As long as you didn't dangle Hannah from the balcony like Michael Jackson.
Yeah, I had my little mask on when I was doing it too. It was a lot of fun. We got to go out there as a group one time. It'd be fun. It'd be like when the Love Boat when the Love Boat during Leaf season they did a different tour and they went to Alaska. We should totally do that. We should do WWE Today Goes to Disneyland. I think
Why don't we go there in September then? Right? Maybe I don't know. Maybe Labor Day weekend. What do you say?
Let's go Labor Day weekend. You and I go and we'll drag Mike and Matt up here.
Okay.
I think it's a great idea. In fact, I'm going to send it back. That trip as soon as we get up the phone here.
I'm going to book my flight right now.
That's all. Sorry, guys. I just wanted to say hi. Go back to your live show. Hello, all our listeners. Thank you for listening.
Good to hear you, Len.
Good to talk to you. Thanks for filling in.
Thanks, Len.
Bye, guys.
I also learned that the AT&T service in Southern California is terrible.
That's Len Testa of The Unofficial Guide, touringplans.com. Thanks, Len. Let's keep things going. Gonna with our next caller, and it's hard to follow up Len, but somebody's got to do it. So, hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, my name's Beth, and I'm calling from Ackworth, Georgia.
Hey, Beth.
Hey, Beth.
Hi, everybody. Just wanted to say that I've been listening to the podcast like a mad woman as I'm planning a big trip for September this year with my four kids, my husband, my parents, and my sister.
Nice.
And yeah, I'm really excited about that, but I do have a couple of questions, and before I forget, I just wanted to say that allears.net's been a great resource, and I used it when we took the three older kids for a day trip, essentially to the parks, and we did a long weekend at Downtown Disney, but it was great then, and been a lot of good use now, and just again, the podcasts are great, and I've got Mouse World Radio on my iPod. Ooh. And y'all basically all brainwashed me.
Excellent, thank you.
And I tell people if I, you know, ever have anybody ask me what I'm doing with my time, I say, well, if you're planning a Disney trip, but and I do have the Unofficial Guide and got the Lines app and all that good stuff. So my questions for y'all, I just have one that's kind of a two-parter that's specific and then a general one, and then that'll be it for tonight. But we're arriving the evening of September the 16th. It's a Friday night. We're staying off-site at a vacation home, and my plan is to do Chef Mickey's for our first breakfast. The crowd calendar that day for the Magic Kingdom is a 1. And I was wondering what time would be ideal for, you know, getting the breakfast time, but not having to get up really early to get, you know, after we get in late the night before. Any suggestions on that or?
Deb, you want to take it?
I'm trying to think. Normally for me, I like character meals either in the beginning or near the end because it seems a lot less frantic.
Right.
You also will have the characters won't have a crowded restaurant. The downside to being on the later end is that some of the food may start to be taken away. But you know, Chef Mickey's is a pretty lively place, and right. There's a lot going on, and there's a lot of noise and lots of food, and the characters are all over. I think whenever you can get a reservation from there that works into your schedule best is really the best thing to do.
Okay.
A lot of people tend to not over plan, but try so hard to get the most perfect yeah. time to do things. And you really want to stick with what your family schedule is. You know, if you're traveling with a big group of people, if it's going to take a while to get everybody mobilized in the morning, then there's no sense in going early. You know, whatever time seems to work best for you, whether it's 8:30, 9 o'clock, 9:30.
Right, because this is kind of, you know, a trip that I never really took with my family growing up, just because they really basically couldn't afford it. And so I feel like I'm kind of doing this dream vacation. I'm probably over planning, but I don't want to be so commando and, you know, we're doing this, and
right.
this every single minute, especially that first day. I kind of want the feel that we're on vacation and we're not getting mm-hmm. up at the crack of dawn. So maybe I'll look at the late time then, because I thought with, you know, to go to the Magic Kingdom after that, because it's such a, I know that's sort of the slow time of year, and if the crowd calendars got that low of a number, I mean, we're going to be looking pretty good at the rides and stuff that day, don't you think?
You should be.
Yeah. Okay. And we also are planning on going back one night that week for the what I anticipate to be a Halloween party night. So we'll get to have more time there, you know, that night too.
Yeah, and don't forget, Mike Scopa had a really good tip earlier that when a park has extra magic hours in the evening, usually the next morning it's not real crowded. And so you might want to look at the calendar too and see what's happening at the Magic Kingdom the night before.
Okay, and I did miss the first hour because I was working with my kids on getting into bed. I had to come in our basin. I'm hiding out, and nobody comes to find me. And then my second part to that morning, because we're staying off-site, I am familiar with the monorail, you know, the TTC and all that, but should we go and park in the Magic Kingdom lot for the TTC and take that to the Contemporary for breakfast and then take it back to the park? Is that what we should do?
Well, if you're going to the Contemporary for breakfast, I don't see any reason why you can't park at the Contemporary.
I agree.
But that's for Chef Mickey's, right?
Yes. Right.
And then just leave, take our car from there and then go park at the Magic Kingdom?
Well, you can just walk over to the Magic Kingdom.
Okay. But we can't leave our car for the whole day, can we? At the Contemporary, or does it just depend?
Let's put it this way. You can. Whether or not you should is another question. Some people would say yes. Some people would say no.
Okay. So we just kind of figure it out that way.
Right.
What we feel comfortable with. Okay. And then my last question, and then I'll let some other callers get in, is my experience. I've always done all these day trips. I mean, you know, when I was a kid, the one or two times we went, it was for one day. And then I worked as a camp counselor with international students when I was in college in Florida, and we got to do day trips on the weekends to the Florida parks. And then I did, you know, so I've had all these experiences like one day at a time, but I've never been in September. I've never been in the fall. Anything aside from crowds, you know, being lower that we should be expecting, or, you know, anything unusual, or is it just the Halloween decorations will be out? And
Scopa, what do you think about fall in Walt Disney World?
When I think of fall in Walt Disney World, I think of wine and dine. I think of very mild temperatures during the day. I think of Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, which is by far the best party, better than the Very Merry Christmas Party. I think of the wine and dine marathon, half marathon now. I think of that. I think of those three things, and those three things very much draw me to come every fall. I think that if you are a runner, it's a great time to go down during wine and dine to enjoy the wine and food and wine festival. I think for a lot of people, it's the perfect time to go. It's October, because number one, the crowds are they're not low, but they're not extremely high. I think the weekends in the fall are very crowded. I think that during the week it's not as bad. I think the locals take in the food and wine. Matt, I don't know, you could probably comment better on that, but I think the locals take in Food and Wine. And so Epcot is really crowded on Saturday and Sunday. And those would be the 2 days that I would go to the Animal Kingdom Studios or Magic Kingdom. I would stay out of Epcot on Saturdays and Sundays and maybe even Friday nights.
Yeah, I totally agree, Mike. You're absolutely right.
So, okay.
That's what
absolutely.
I
okay. Well, great. And I should also tell you guys that when I was listening to some of the older podcasts with the your sip and snack or where y'all went around.
Yeah.
And the Beverly was getting mentioned. My husband works for the company, you know, that makes that drink. And when you go to the World of Coke here in Atlanta, that is the notorious drink. You know, probably for the same way that it's done down there in Epcot. But so I was telling my husband about it and he was cracking up. So we're going to have to check that out.
Yeah, you should have your husband send us a case of it so that Scopa can enjoy it.
Well, he was getting my kids to drink it, you know, and it's like, that's so mean, you know, and they know exactly what that is. So I was just laughing when the guy's talking about it, about that episode. So.
We actually had, there was a bunch of us. Was it Tent Fest, Matt? I don't know if you were there, but there were a bunch of us who were at Club Cool and we wanted to see who could drink the most Beverly. And I'm not going to say who won, but there were the last person who to bow out was shaking at the end. It was, I mean, that you know, I think everybody has a certain threshold, and that person was shaking as he was trying to drink the last one. It's just, it can get to you after a while, and you just
When was that, Newell?
Was that the reunion?
Was that Tent Fest? Or was that?
Oh, you know, no, because wasn't Fred there? I think it was reunion 10. No, 09.
I think you're right. Well, we have our next caller on the line. It's Jay from North Carolina. Hey, Jay.
Hey, good evening. Missed y'all. I actually got the date wrong for the live show in January. We were sitting watching Wishes at the Poly, or I would have called. I just didn't realize it was Saturday instead of Sunday. So, bummer.
Jeez.
But
come on,
I'm glad
Jay.
I got it right this month.
Yay.
Yeah.
So I was calling to tell y'all thanks for a couple specific things we did with our family. We took 20-some of us down for my parents' 45th wedding anniversary, and we had a blast. And
cool.
So many of your tips and tricks made it special. And I was going to mention a couple of those. One is, Matt, you're right about the studios. That's just a great park. I hadn't spent a lot of time in there, but my conclusion was, visually, it's as neat as any of the parks. You just constantly turn that corner, and it looks different, and it's kind of fully immersive. I just thought that was a really pleasant surprise. So I see what you're a big fan about now. So I wanted to definitely support you in that because I know you catch a little unnecessary flack on that.
You're welcome, Jane. Welcome to the club.
So, and food-wise, all right, so here's what we found that there's a lot of stuff to love there, but one was the Samoan at Kona. Have y'all had that?
I have not, Deb. Have you had that drink at Kona?
No.
Well, it's a breakfast. It's a breakfast food.
Oh,
it's called Samoa.
Okay. I thought you meant said samosa. Never mind.
No, sorry. So what it is it's like Hawaiian style eggs Benedict. It's eggs Benedict over bed of Hawaiian barbecue. Fantastic. I'm just gonna tell you, you got to make a trip over there for that. As much as Tonga Toast gets talked about, this is like a good kind of second cousin for that. I mean, it's marvelous. So that was good. And Scope is definitely right on those No Way Jose's. My goodness, that is really, really something. So we asked the guy, how do you make them? Have y'all ever heard what specifically they do to make those?
No, what do they say?
Peanut butter? Yeah. So he said they actually melt just peanut butter. And they pour it on there. So it's melted just peanut butter on there with the chocolate ice cream, the vanilla ice cream, and all that. He said he's got the exact ingredients, and when he tries to make it at home, it's still not as good as when I make it there.
Let's get some Jif over here immediately.
That sounds so good.
I'm just surprised by that. So that was neat. And the other things we heard were, one was, you know, I know y'all talked about resort mugs recently. We had a cast member at one of the resorts, at the bar at one of the resorts, tell us that, as far as he understood, that you could refill that at any resort you went to, just not in the parks. And it was like unsolicited.
I was asking where I could fill it up there at the hotel, where all the locations were, the resort. And he said, well, really, you can fill it up at any resort you want. Take it with you. And if you want to bring it back next year, they don't put a date on it. That's what he told us. So I thought that was kind of interesting. It made me feel a little better because we switched resorts. We got it at one resort, and then we switched and went to another resort for a couple nights. And so I just used it back and forth between the two. So that was nice to hear directly from him.
Interesting. So, and one other thing I wanted to pass on to y'all is what's up with the Brazilians? They were nice. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be weird here. They were everywhere. This was late January. It was like they were happy, wonderful people, but they were everywhere. And I guess y'all have been enough times to have seen them just going in mass, singing songs, like 300 of them coming in at once. And
the Brazilians are there every winter because it's their summer. Although they're there all year round. Come in droves in the wintertime, especially now. I mean, you're just going to see them all over the place. Although they're kind of their prime is really past. Now it's the cheerleaders that are really dominating the big groups.
Okay. But yeah, I mean, I remember one time we were walking out at like noon to go take a nap with our young ones, and they was like, I don't know, six wide, 20 rows deep, just marching into the place. So, well, I don't want to get stuck in line behind them. But they were great. I mean, they were really nice. They were just as good as anybody. But anyway, so, well, I could talk forever, but I just want to call and tell y'all thanks. And I love the show, and all of your tips really actually had a major impact on our family. We trust each other on trips a little bit more, largely because I got a lot of tips from y'all. So thanks for the work y'all do. We really are all grateful for it.
Thank you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
407-278-5939. Appreciate the comments, Jay, and, you know, do this for fun. And we're glad that somebody's benefiting from this information, not just, you know, Janine taking shots at us all the time. So we appreciate that.
Janine.
She is in chat, so I guess
Janine.
Everyone say hi, Janine.
Hi, Janine.
407-278-5939. I think the only way to combat Janine is just to make her the subject of public anything. Just point her in the, you know, in the center of everything, and that's the only way that you'll get her to back down.
Janine's a big fan of the refillable mug. That's all I'm saying.
Especially the ones from 1996.
Especially the one that says, Disney's Village Resort on it.
Totally true. 407-278-5939. Hey, there's still time to get your calls in. I know we're getting close to the end of the show, but there's still time to get your calls in. I know some people have been trying the past, the whole show to get their calls in, but don't worry. There's still time to get your calls in and ask your questions. We had a lot of different topics to discuss, lots of different things to talk about. And, Jay was talking about the Brazilian tour groups, and, you know, they really, I think their prime was probably January and February, early February. And now, like I said, the cheerleaders are really starting to come into play here, especially at Hollywood Studios. They have that huge tent in the parking lot where the cheerleaders go, and occasionally, like, Indiana Jones will be closed for a performance or something like that. So you'll see quite a bit of tour groups in the parks, and I'm glad that it worked out for Jay that he wasn't... A lot of people report negative situations where they sing and they're loud and kind of annoying, but no. Glad it worked out for Jay. 407-278-5939. I want to also, Mike Newell, if anyone loves a radio tease, it's certainly me, would you say?
I would say yes.
Well, can I say that we had Deb Wills this month for our February live show.
Right.
We have a big celebrity for March.
Really?
Now it doesn't get bigger than Deb. All right, let's be honest. Okay. But that being said, it is a pretty big celeb, and maybe later I will reveal the name of our big celeb for March.
I'm so excited.
Let's take another call, and we have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
You're speaking to John from New Jersey. How you doing?
Hey, John.
You guys have a great program. You keep me going a lot of times early mornings and late at night at work. I got a question for you. It's a dining plan question. I know on certain websites they've done a comparison of what's better, the Tables of Wonder and the dining plan. And they've changed stuff recently. Which one do you think is a better value for most people?
The which one? I'm sorry, what are the two options?
The Tables of Wonder or the buying the dining plan.
It really depends on your habits and everything like that. I mean, it really goes through, it's a personal thing. You really have to do the math. I think it's the thing we always, I mean, I know we're always negative on the dining plan, but honestly, you have to do the math regardless. Every situation is different. Every trip is different. And I think you really have to do the math, figure out what restaurants you want to eat at and what you would order at those restaurants. That's also important. And then
we do buffets. We do buffets because we're mostly character meals. So I know that's a little different than how, the way you guys mostly eat, correct?
Yeah. I mean, Deb, what's your opinion on this? The three of us have voiced our opinion on the dining plan many, 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 many times. And so as to get a fresh opinion on this, Deb, what is your opinion on dining plan, especially dining plan versus Table in Wonderland, if you're angled towards doing a lot of character meals, buffets specifically?
That's a tough one. You know, I was a fan of the dining plan real early on when it included the appetizer, the entree, dessert, included the tip. I think it was $35. It was under $40 when it first came out. You know, that was a really good deal. The dining plan now, if you're paying for it, I tend to agree with what you guys are saying. You really have to look at the kinds of places you want to eat, where you want to go. Tables in Wonderland, while it's accepted in many places, it's not accepted in a lot of the park restaurants, especially in Epcot. So the way I look at things is, don't let the plan or the card dictate what you do. You decide what you want to do and then what tools are out there that are going to best help you. So yes. If you lay out, you know, I want to do character meals and these are what I'm going to do, and then look at the dining plan. Is that going to make sense for you? Is that going to save you the most money? Or is the 20% off for Tables in Wonderland going to save you the most money? You know, there's a price for the card, just like there's a price for the dining plan. But you should really think about how you want to, what you want to do first, and then see what's going to help you the best.
I mean, we have both. So, I mean, in the situations where the dining plan did not cover it for our last meal, we did use the Tables of Wonder discount, and it did come in handy. But now when they raise the prices, it's very, you know, it's not a clear cut decision. And I was hoping for somebody to give us a better advice than my own.
I mean, if it was. Here's the thing. I mean, one thing I like about Tales in Wonderland especially is the flexibility, right? Because, you know, you're going to make your ADRs today, right? And you're going to be making them – you have it all planned out. But what happens on you get there and the Wednesday of your trip, you say, you know, guys, I'm not really hungry. I don't really want to eat a huge buffet. I don't think it would be worth it. Well, if you're on the dining plan, you kind of have to, because if you don't, it's going to be a real waste of money. With Tales in Wonderland, no problem. You don't want to eat there? No problem. That's fine. Go eat it, you know, wherever you want. And you're not really going to have that loss of value. That's what I really like about it, because it gives you so much more flexibility from it. And for that reason, that's why I like it quite a bit. Because, you know, if you want to eat at all those character buffets, great. You're going to get 20% off, you know, and that might actually, if you do the math, that might be a better value for you. But like I said, it just – I like the flexibility of it. I like the options that it gives you. I'd rather have more options than not enough. And certainly, you know, the price of it going up especially – that's really rubbed me the wrong way.
Plus, Tables in Wonderland is good for the whole year.
That's right.
Yeah, it's actually good for 13 months, because they actually give you, when you go, they give you some like an extra, almost an extra month, which comes in handy. So
it does. It does.
Can I ask you one more question? If you don't have another caller on hold, I apologize.
It's just Newell. Go ahead, please.
Yeah.
Have you ever done a comparison of the character meals that are in Downtown Disney? Has anyone ever done that? Or, I mean, because we've stayed in Downtown Disney. We did some of the character meals down there. And I was just wondering if anyone had ever done a review of those. I mean, I know they do reviews of the ones in Walt Disney World and the Dolphin, but the ones in what used to be called the Grosvenor, and there was one at the Hilton. And,
oh, those. I'm like, where's one in Downtown Disney?
And there's actually one in the next to what used to be the, I guess the Grosvenor became the Regal Sun, which became something else now.
No, I know what you're talking about. The you're talking about the hotels, not the. I'm thinking of the Downtown Disney, like Baby Cakes Downtown Disney, like the actual area. No.
Yeah, that's where I went too. I don't know if anybody's done that. That's an interesting thought. Sounds like another field trip.
Yeah,
we had a great time doing that. I mean, I always thought it would be, because we've done those character meals and. They're not cheap, to tell you the truth, but sometimes they're interesting because. They're not crowded, so they can be fun. So,
Absolutely. I'm trying to figure out which ones have them over there.
Well, there's three I know of. There's the Hilton.
Yep.
There's what you will replace the Grosvenor and all the Regal Sun. And right next to it is the, oh, God, I can't remember the name of the resort. Oh, God. It's right next to it. It's
around?
Right across the street from the entrance to Downtown Disney. What was it called? They have a great fitness center, which is what I use most of the time. What was it called? Oh, God, I can't remember. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, I know what you're talking about. I'm trying to find the list that has it specifically.
I think over at the Swan is one of the best ways to go. Their weekend character breakfast. They have a lot. They have a great buffet, breakfast buffet in the morning, and it's a lot of similar foods to what they serve as fresh. Even without the characters, I think it's a great place to go to eat a little bit off the beaten path. And with the characters, you know, you've got the great food, you got Starbucks coffee, and characters to boot.
Yeah, if someone in the chat room has some experience at any of these character meals, like the Hilton, let us know in the chat room or call in. You still got a few minutes to call into the end of the live show here. So, but that's. I think Deb's right. I think we have to have a research trip over there. I will tweet the Downtown Disney the Hilton at Downtown Disney tomorrow and be like, we need to come over immediately.
Yes.
Well, they don't do them every day, so you got to be careful on those. So
yeah, they're limited hours. Yeah. It's not like Chef Mickey's where it's all the time. You're right.
Yes. Thank you very much for taking the call. And your website, Deb, is really great. I've basically read almost everything on it, and I
almost.
And I really missed that. I think it was called the Anita Answer, but
Thank you, John. There's a whole group of people who work on All Ears, Mr. Scopa being one of them, and we thank you so much for your support.
Thank you very much. I really appreciate everything you guys do and ladies do, because it cheers you up when you're there at 9 p.m. sometimes at work going, you know what, I'm gonna read this.
Nice.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Have a great night.
We have our next caller on the line. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hi, this is Julie from Texas.
Hey, Julie.
Hey, I have a ticket question for you guys.
Go ahead.
We're going in May, and we're trying to save as much money as we can. So we got 2 one-day tickets from a cast member. And then we have some old tickets. They're the old Park Hopper Plus tickets. And we have one, I think it has 2 or 3 days left on it. And it has 3 of the plus options. And then we have another one with 3 plus options. So do those plus options have any value, any cash value?
You mean in terms of like applying them towards a new ticket? Is that what you're saying?
Right.
I don't think so.
We want to take them and apply it towards another ticket.
I'm pretty sure no. I think the water park, depending on how old the ticket is, but my guess is the water park options are separate from park days. Deb, would you know any different? I'm not sure if you know.
I don't,
anything.
Matt. I don't know. Sorry.
What I would do is just bring those tickets. The cast member tickets are out. I mean, those are comp,
right.
So you're not going to get anything out of those. But go to guest relations somewhere, and be like, here, look, I've got all these tickets here. Tell me what we can, what all this is worth and what we can go and what you're trying. Are you just trying to get like combine them all to get towards like say an annual pass or like a 10
well,
day?
No, we're going for 7 days to the park.
Uh-huh.
And I was kind of surprised at how much different since we have the 2 free 1 days. So a 5 day park hopper would be $309 and a 7 day $320. So we're not really saving very much money. So we kind of dug out our old tickets to see if that would help.
I mean, what they do is they're going to scan the ticket and they're going to see what the original value of the ticket was. So the plus options, if those were sort of gimmies and that was included as part of the ticket, it's just going to be what's remaining on the ticket. And I was actually pretty amazed. I don't know what kind of computer system they've got for the tickets. They need that for some of the other things they've got. But they can pull up a ticket from 15, 20 years ago and tell you what it cost and what it's worth today.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Bye.
All right. I'll give it maybe one more call before we wrap things up here. And don't forget, our next live show tentatively will be on in March, tentatively the 27th, but we'll have to confirm that for you. And I mentioned we have a celeb, you know, big name for coming up. They'll be joining us in March as well. And Newell, should I mention it or should I hold off?
I say make everyone wait.
Yeah. Mike, you're great. That's why we have you at the show. That's all I'm saying.
is it a Disney legend?
It depends on your legend's a little tough. I mean, Deb, we're not. This is no Deb Wills. Let's put it that way. All right. There's only one of those.
Well, that's true. There's only one Matt Hotchberg too.
Oh, thank God for that. Jeez.
Thank God.
It's like one last call, and then I'll consider revealing who the person is. And this is our last call of the night. Hi, who are we speaking with?
Hey, it's Beth again.
Hey, Beth again.
Earlier, and y'all helped me out about Chef Mickey's.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, well, I popped back on. It was kind of awkward following. I've never done the chat room and all that. But anyway, the one thing that I have experience with is the Hilton, which has the character breakfast on Sundays.
Good.
And so we did that. And that, again, that was in 2007. But the experience was really good for us. It was my mom and three kids. And we had Brer Fox. Brer Bear, I think, I know Minnie was there, and I think Pluto, and had plenty of time to get pictures with them. My daughter had a stuffed, a Minnie plush doll, so she got that signed by Minnie Mouse, and it was great. I mean, it's probably theme-wise, you know, the restaurant might not be as impressive as, you know, the Disney World parks and resort restaurants. But anyway, I thought it was a good deal for, you know, not being at a resort. So
was it a buffet, right? It wasn't like a
it was a breakfast buffet.
Okay, would you do it again?
Yeah, I would. You know, my husband has Hilton. We actually were able to stay for 3 nights with his points, and because he had so many, he's a Diamond member, so we even were on concierge level. I mean, it was a great trip all in all for us, but yeah, that character breakfast. I mean, if you haven't done one, like on this trip we're going on in September, I would rather go and do the ones in the park or, you know, in Walt Disney World property. But I think as an option, especially if you can't get a reservation or, you know, when you're leaving town on a Sunday, that might be a good option. But yeah, it was a good
one. Cool. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks again, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you, Beth. And I guess that's going to wrap up our live show. I guess that's it, right, Mike?
That's it. Good night, everybody.
Hey!
Good night, Flower. Good night, everybody.
I want to mention, though, that our March live show guest, we're very excited to have on our live show, is going to be none other than...
Let him wait.
Let him wait? Come on, Mike.
No, because everybody thinks it's that other guy, and it's not the other guy, so let him... Now they get to wait.
I will take pity on our listeners who have been in the chat room since 6 o'clock. A lot of them have been hanging out there.
And I have control to hang up on you, so.
That's our show for the evening.
And that's the end of our show.
We're very excited to have AJ from the Disney Food Blog on next month. She's going to be joining us for our live show in March. So you're definitely going to be able to... Lots of food talk we're looking forward to. But in the meantime, Deb, I want to thank you so much for helping us out this show. We're going to have you on for... many more times this year. We're looking forward to having you on our live shows once again and sharing your expertise in so many different areas.
Well, thank you, guys. It was great to be on tonight. You had a lot of great callers. That was a good night of mixed questions. I really enjoyed that. Thanks. Absolutely.
Thank Absolutely. You, Deb.
I agree. And, of course, our sponsor for today's live show has been AllEars.net, your one-stop shop for Walt Disney World, the Disney Cruise Line, and Disneyland. All Ears has menus of every single Walt Disney World restaurant, comprehensive photos of all the resorts, sections on traveling special challenges, and more. Be sure to subscribe to All Ears, a weekly email newsletter all about Walt Disney World, where you can join over 129,000, that's right, 129,000 other subscribers who receive a dose of pixie dust in their inbox each week. You can, of course, subscribe at allears.net today. And we mentioned All Ears Net, the All Ears newsletter earlier in the show with Emily, who writes for the All Ears newsletter. So you can read Emily's work, you can read Mike Scopa's work, who's in there. Deb, I'm sure, writes in there. Deb Coma writes in there. So lots of great stuff to read there. I always get mine every Tuesday, right, Deb?
Absolutely. Every Tuesday evening it goes out. And while you still have everybody there, tomorrow night, same bat channel, well, sort of. Michael is producing the Team All Ears live show, and you can go to allears.net and get the link. We come on at 8 o'clock. We're going to be kicking off Team All Ears Running with Purpose for the 2012 Walt Disney World Marathon weekend.
Awesome. Thank you so much to all of our listeners for calling in and chatting with us and listening. It's always a pleasure to do these live shows, and you guys make it totally worth it. You make it really interesting, and we're glad that we can entertain you guys. So thank you so much for listening and calling in. Definitely something that we definitely appreciate. And of course, thank you to all of our panel, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, Deb Wills, for their time and answering these questions. And that's going to do it for us today. Want to find our older episodes, read our show notes, or send us your comments, you can, of course, visit us online at wdwtoday.com. For Lentesta, Mike Scopa, Mike Newell, and Deb Wills, I'm Matt Hotchberg. We'll see you on the next show.
Stupid Judy, stupid energy.
This has been a production of Mouse World Radio.